Chapter 1. Once you're there, just put your finger there. Hold your place. You know, one of the things the Lord is speaking to my heart, I'm just a messenger to bring a message. And the message is from Him. Amen. And the adversary will try to block it, but God is greater. Amen. So right now, I just pray that your receptors are being opened to receive what the Spirit of God has to say to us today. You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse number 31, He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." In other words, things are ever changing around us, and there's only one thing that is constant. It was kind of interesting yesterday. We went to a viewing, as Jackie had shared, for another man of God, Donnie Black. And it was kind of interesting because when we were in the line waiting, a family that used to live across the street from me when I was in the world was right behind us in line. And her husband's dad was the bishop, Lester Heatwell. He was the bishop for the Mennonite churches in the area, and one of the bishops. I remember that. I shared it with you before, and it reminded me, Lester Heatwell was in my living room talking to me one day, and I was bending over, and I was tying my shoes, and he said, "Carl, you're getting taller." And I said, "What do you mean I'm getting taller?" He said, "Well, your head's come right up through your hair." But you know, one of the things that it was really interesting, God always has a plan in everything He does. And they were seating people to wait to visit, in the visitation line. It took approximately two hours to go through this line. And Ralph, Rhonda's dad and his son were three together. And when they sat us, they had the daughter and the son had to wait for the next turn to be seated. So Ralph, he was 83 years old, sat beside me for like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And this man was so full of wisdom. So much knowledge and knowledge of the things of God. And one of the things he reminded me is we're ever learning but never fully coming to the knowledge of the truth. And when we get to the point where we think we've arrived, we're in trouble. Hello? And God wants you to know, no matter where you are in your walk with Him, you're on a journey that no one has arrived to yet that is still here on this earth. So we're journeying together. And one of the things He was speaking about to me, it was kind of interesting. Ralph was speaking to me about having a heart of thankfulness, and that if we have a grateful and a thankful heart, we can fulfill all the things that God has in His Word to that mentality, to that attitude, having an attitude of gratitude. And the Lord, and this is, I heard someone say this one time, and to get a hold of this today. He said, a bad attitude is like a flat tire on your automobile. Unless you change it, you will never go anywhere. So I don't know about you. I want to have an attitude adjustment. Amen. How many can use an attitude adjustment in the room? Come on. Come on. How many can look at it in a different light and see things in a different manner, in a different way? And that's what the Lord wants to speak to His heart. Now, listen to me. When the word goes forth, if there's something that challenges you, amen, or convicts you, It's because the Lord has something for you. Amen. And truly, every time the word goes forth, everyone in the room should be convicted in some manner and some way. Amen. So just because I'm the messenger of the message, that doesn't mean I don't have to apply the message. Amen. So as the message is going forth, it's speaking to me too. Okay? Okay. Because the Father wants to take us somewhere. And, you know, it was kind of a sharing this morning. Yesterday I was in the park. And I was running in the park. And there was a lady that was had a leash and was walking a dog. And she had another lady with her that was pushing a carriage. And when I came running up on them, the Lord said something to me. He gave me a physical picture of something in the spiritual. And he said, and I looked at the dog and I saw the leash, and the Lord said, I am getting ready to unleash a fresh anointing that you will carry. The carriage represents us being carriers of the anointing that God's getting ready to pour out. Amen. Not that you aren't anointed already, amen, but how many know that we could all use a fresh anointing? How many know that we could use something new and something fresh? Amen. I mean, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Amen. So I don't want to get stuck in the old. That's what happened to Israel. That's what happened. They got stuck in the old and they wouldn't accept the new. Amen. I don't know about you, but the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So the Lord wants to talk to us today, and I guess I ought to get to where we're going now. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now we're going to go towards what we're going to speak on today. Verse number 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This morning I want to speak to you about the perseverance. The perseverance is unchanging. The word is unchanging. And God sent his word here today to, one, to purify, two, to practice, and two, and three, to prefer. Amen? And there's some other things, and we'll get to them in a minute. So if you have your word, would you lift your Bible with me? Can we make a declaration here together? Repeat after me. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Father, speak to me. I am listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house today. Now, Father, I pray that you speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. Father, you say in your word that you take us from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So, Father God, you're here to transform and change us by your word. So we just say, Lord, have your way in this place, and we'll never cease to give you glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, first thing he says here is, seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth. Amen. One of the things first is we're going to look at to purify. The word, God is sending his word to purify our souls, okay? When we see that, the psalmist writes in Psalms chapter 119. So look at me in 119. Remember when he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things become new. And God guides us and directs us through his word. And the psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse number 9. The psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Question mark. By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. In other words, the psalmist says, hey, help me, Lord. I need help. I need help not to wander. How many know that in the world we live in and the things that are going on, the adversary is constantly doing things to try to get us off track? He's always trying to distract us. He's always trying to make things look better than they truly are. He's the author of lies and deception. And God wants you and I to know that his word endures forever, and it's the truth that we can stand on. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 17, verse number 17, he said, sanctify them, or set them apart, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said in John 8, 32, and ye shall know the, and the truth shall make you free. Deception never freed anyone. Feelings never freed anyone. It's the truth. Jesus continued to say, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. In other words, Jesus said, I am the way to the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. To sanctify is to be set apart. Listen to me. Our sanctification is a process that takes our entire lifetime. Every time I think that I got somewhere, the Lord reveals something new inside of me that's not of him. Hello? Amen? Anybody else in the room? And you know, the truth of the matter is, unless we can openly confess these things, we can't get past them. Amen? Hey, recognize that we're gathered together as the family of God. And truly, if somebody doesn't understand where you're at or doesn't love you where you're at, their love of God's not in their heart and in their lives. You're looking at the person and not at the God and His Word. God says He loves you so much that He gave His very best for you and I. Amen. So no matter where you are or what you're facing, God has greater and better things for you and I. Amen. I love it that He never, he always finishes what He starts. Amen. How many know that we're all a work in progress? Amen. Amen. I don't have the t-shirt. I've arrived yet. Okay. And none of us do. But He says to the church in Ephesians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church, and he was paralleling it with a bride and a marriage, but he said in verse number 26, talking about that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or of any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. How many know that God's in the purification process? How many know that God's a purifier? Amen. I don't know if you have an air purifier or a purification system, the air purifier purifies the air, okay? And so once it's purified, it becomes what? It becomes better. God takes all those things that the adversary meant for evil, and He turns around and uses them for His glory. Amen. How many know that God loves us and has a plan in our life, and He just wants us to adjust our lives to the world? You know, to the Word of God. It's sort of like this. You know, we were going down life's highway, and we were following the things of the world. Anybody been there, done that? Amen. And follow the things of the world. And the Lord called us and turned us around. And we started heading in a different direction. And all of a sudden, He started going. It was like going into a house and doing a renovation. He went in this room first, and He started dealing in this room. And when He got finished with that room, He thought, oh man, I feel good now. He opened the door to another room. And that room was a mess. And He went into that room, and He started cleaning that room up. And you got to that place, man, I'm feeling good. That room's cleaned up. And He opened another door to another room. And He opened a door to another room, and there was another mess. Hallelujah. And God wants you and I to know that we're a mess in progress, but God will take care of the mess for us. Amen. He takes care of it by the message about the truth of His Word. In other words, now I'm adjusting my life to His Word. You know, what I have a tendency to do early in my walk with the Lord is I would compare myself with others. Oh, yeah. Oh man, I'm doing better than they are. Hello, you been there? Come on, be honest. But all of a sudden, Jesus said, I want you to mirror your life after me. When you look in the mirror, I want you to see me. But the problem when I look in the mirror is I still see me and not Him. Hello? And that's where the transformation takes place. And the transformation takes place when what? If He sent His Word to purify us, we have to do what? We have to put it to practice. We have to practice what we preach. And if you look at me in Exodus chapter 19, we find Moses is going to meet the Lord. And verse number 3 of chapter 19 of Exodus. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Wow. And all of a sudden, in 1 Peter chapter 2, what did Peter say in verse number 9? He's speaking to the body of Christ. He says, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who at one time were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Why? Because what I'm doing is I'm allowing his word to purify my heart and my life by putting it to practice. In other words, we got to practice what we preach. We have a tendency to say, do as I say, not as I do. Hello? Why is the Lord saying this to you and I? Because he's challenging us. He said that he's purified our souls by the word unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love is unconditional love. I don't have conditions on it. It's love without conditions. He says in James chapter 1, in James chapter 1, verse number 25. The word of God says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So as we're putting this to practice, I thought 1 John chapter 3 fit this really well. The beloved writes this, he says in verse 22, he said that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because what? We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he have given us. I'm going to deal with the lie. The Lord spoke to me about this last week, and I want to deal with the adversary's a deceiver and the father of all lies. I've heard this said so many times since I've been serving the Lord, and the Lord brought me a word here. The thing that I heard over and over again is, I love them because God says I need to love them, but I don't like them. And God said, you can never love who you don't like. You will never love who you don't like. God says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you put a face on him, you lose the battle. God says you will never love who you don't like. Now, I don't necessarily like some of the things they do, but I gotta like them. Because if I don't like them, I'm never gonna love them. I don't know about you, but I liked Jackie before I ever loved her. And I had to talk her into liking me so that she would love me. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you see how the adversary deceives? Because you say, well, I love him. He's my brother. I don't like that guy whatsoever. I just don't. Well, you really don't love him. You're two-faced. You're double-minded. And he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In other words, God is saying to you and I, change your attitude. See them through my eyes, not your eyes. Do you not remember where I found you? You were pretty messy. Hello? Come on now. You don't remember? It was kind of interesting when I'm sitting at this funeral home last night with this guy. Is the lady across the street lived there when I was in the world and I had my businesses, my real estate company, all those things before Christ, when I was in rebellion against Christ. You know, and the Lord started, it was just like a motion picture going on as the guy's talking to me. I'm seeing all these things. But you know what the Lord would show me? I was thankful here. 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 He kept on showing me all the things he did, all the things he showed up, every time he showed up in every way. And he's been faithful to you. If he hadn't been faithful to you, you wouldn't be sitting here today. Amen. You're here. You were able to walk in this place. So you should be giving him glory and praise and honor. You should be loving everyone in this room and loving everyone out there. Amen. Amen. God says we got to come outside of this doors. God says we got to come out of this door and we got to reach this city and we got to reach this state and we got to reach this nation with the love of God. Amen. This isn't a feel-good club. There's nothing wrong with feeling good. You know what we're here for? We're here to get stirred up and fired up to go out there and work. Amen. Amen. I pray that everyone in this room knows Jesus, and if you don't know him or if you drifted away, it's important that you know him before you leave today. It's important that you keep him first place in your life. You know, he says to you and I, if seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I'm doing this, what I'm doing is I'm allowing his word to purify my heart. His word is purifying my life because I'm putting his word to practice. Amen. I'm practicing what I'm preaching. And then what he is saying to you is we allow his word to purify our hearts and we begin to practice what we're preaching, what we're going to do is we're going to prefer others above ourselves. We're going to put other people first. I don't know about you, but when you start putting others first, God can't help but bless you. If you ain't pouring out anything, God ain't going to pour anything in. Amen. The problem is, let me say this to you, and I've got to say this because the Holy Ghost said to say it. The Father says this. He said, my children, I love each and every one of you, and I got a plan to each and every one of your lives. But the well is stopped up. The spring is stopped up. God says, unstop the spring so I can pour in. Let your my love flow through you. Let it flow through you in a new way. Let it flow through you this very day. Let it flow through you to that one that's lost, that one that's needed, that one that's poor, that one that's broken, that one that's in prison. Let my love flow to you. And as you let my love flow to you, oh, you can never hold it back. I'll pour more and more and more. It'll just blow your mind. You know what? God blows my mind all the time. Anybody here with me? Are you here today? Do you hear what the Lord is saying to us? There wasn't condemnation in that. God says we got to loosen the joints a little bit. Come on. You know what? Sometimes we get so stuck. We get so stuck in the way we do things. And God wants to do something. You know what he gives? He gives the oil of the Holy Spirit to loosen the joints. And all of a sudden, when you let the love of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord, all of a sudden loosen your joints, you'll start doing things you haven't done in a long time. Yeah. All of a sudden, your joints will begin to feel better. All of a sudden, your back will begin to feel better. All of a sudden, your organs in your body will begin to feel better because God's love keeps pouring and pouring and pouring in. God says he loves you so much, he'll never change his mind concerning you.
Amen. And all he is saying to you and I today is, will you change your mind concerning me? Will you put me in that first place? Will you give me the precedence? Will you give me the one place in your heart that I've been longing for and desiring, is that perfect place in your heart that you said, hey, Lord, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm going to do everything I can to get there. Amen. And he says for us to prefer others. And one of the things the Lord is speaking to my heart, look at me in Romans chapter 12. Verse number 9. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Wait a minute. I don't use that word every day. Dissimulation is to have an agenda. And God says many have loved with an agenda. And when the agenda changed, your love for them changed. Because it never was pure love. It was only about an agenda or only about a plan. As long as they did what you wanted them to do, they loved you. But when they did what you didn't want them to do, your love for them changed. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, and with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Amen. How many followers of Jesus do we have in the room? John 15 then. John 15. Verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Anybody need some joy? And that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, he says in our text to love one another fervently. Whoa, fervently? Well, what does that mean, Pastor? He says to love one another passionately. We have the passion of Christ. We have the love of Christ. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You know what that is? It's unconditional, sacrificial love. Amen? I don't know about you, but the Lord has said something to me. And really, and this end time move of God that's coming, it's going to be carried through God's word, okay, through the word of one, thankfulness, and the second is love. It's the spirit of love that's going to come and change everyone. You know what changes hearts and lives? Love. You know what transforms your life? Love. Unmerited. Undeserved. You know, he says, for by grace we are saved by faith, that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us have boasted, that came to us unmerited, that his love. So he tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, as we're loving one another fervently, passionately, I get a workout today. Hallelujah. As the apostle is writing his letter to the church at Thessalonica, and verse number 12, he says, in the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable and holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So in closing, what is the Lord saying to you and I in his word today? God wants us to progress. He sent his word to purify, for us to put it to practice, to prefer others. And this we must begin to profess. We're going to profess it to others. In other words, the profession is an outward expression. In other words, it's taking the things that God has done on the inside of us and professing it to others or ministering it to others. Jesus put it simple in Matthew 5:8. He said this. Well, simple. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we can only be purified in heart when we allow his word to purify us, to put his word to practice in our hearts and lives. And as we put his word to practice in our hearts and lives, the action is preferring others before ourselves. Jesus made it simple. He said, give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. As you give, other men shall give unto you. In other words, God says that he wants to open us up as vessels for his glory and honor, to be a blessing to others, to reach this world with the love of God. You see, there's a lot of love in the world, but it's perverted. And God says, as the house of God, do not pervert my word and use love for your own gain. The love of God is for the gain of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's a different type of love that we have. And this love I can't share with others. And the adversary wants to pervert that love and confuse it. It's not romantic love. It's the love of the Father that's agape. It's unconditional. It's his love flowing through you and I. Every morning I wake up, and it's an honor to choose to love my wife. It's an honor every day to give God thanks for my wife. I'm blessed. I when I'm sitting there and thinking about what I'm blessed with, boy, my goodness gracious. Amen. I'm one lucky guy. Hallelujah. And I don't just say that to say that. I say that because I know that. Hello? Because if it wasn't for the love of the Father that was sowed in me as a child, every seed that was sowed came to life, even though it didn't look like it. The seeds that mommy and daddy sowed in us are manifesting itself. Listen to me. I saw this at the park, and I don't know what their intentions were. I have a feeling what their intentions were, but they wrote on it, there's an underpass that goes under interstate, and there's a cement wall. And the statement was this: we are what we leave behind. We are leaving a legacy behind it to the generations that are following us. And whether you think they're following you or not, they sure are. Hello? This may have them or that may have them, but God is going to bring a revelation and understanding. It's better, sometimes it's better at home than out there. You know, I always thought that it was better out there, but I recognized, man, it's really great to be at home. So he says to you and I that he sends his word to you and I to purify our hearts. Our hearts are purified when we put the word to practice. When we put the word to practice, we prefer others before ourselves. When we prefer others before ourselves, we begin to profess the love of God to a lost and dying world. And when we begin to profess the love of God to a lost and dying world, all of a sudden, we begin to profit. The Word of God says in 3 John, we begin to prosper. This is a new Bible. Help me out. I broke it in yet. Verse number 2. John the Beloved writes this. He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Yeah. Wait a minute. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I have rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Man, isn't God good? God's saying to you, He loves you, and He has a plan in each and every life and that's in this room. That He has sent His word to purify our hearts, to help us put His the word to practice, to prefer others, so we may profess it, and that we may prosper and be in good health. How many wants to be in good health? I wish above all things that they'll prosper and be in good health. What? As your soul prospers. And God sent His word into this room today that every soul in this room would prosper and would benefit. And God, listen to me. God's power is here to destroy the devil in every level. Hallelujah. 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 Aren't you grateful that God has called you? Aren't you grateful that God has a plan in your life? Aren't you glad that everything's been done? All we have to do is enter into the finished work and trust Him all the way. He says, my children, just trust me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge me. And I will.